Roxo Media House.
Hello, Frog fans. Welcome to Post Game Beers Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Malloy at YellumK on Twitter, joined by my co-host, Jacob Sailors at JD Sailors, as well as Crazy Ray Cartwright, the Sultan of Stat, Martin Guerrero, and of course, our latest addition, the uninformed horse, Garrett Evans. We've got your midweek fix of chatting frog ball as usual, but instead of breaking down games, we're going to be previewing our upcoming series this weekend. So the Frogs start conference play this weekend as they head to Norman to match up against the 2022 College World Series runner-up Oklahoma Sooners. And tonight, we are really pleased to be joined by Brandon Schultz. He is the co-host of the New Rope Twitter space and Oklahoma Baseball Experience podcast. They cover all things OU baseball. We're pumped to get him on tonight and actually learn something about the team that Frogs are going to play. So, Brandon, welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
Oh, thank you. I'm doing well. I appreciate you all having me. I think it's always fun. College baseball is just fun. It just is. And I enjoy talking to other fan bases. It's fun giving each other crap. I mean, that's part of, I feel like, the whole sports experience is if you can't have fun with other fan bases, then what are we even doing?
So I think that's why Twitter pretty much exists.
Right. Yeah.
Imagine Twitter without sports fans talking crap to each other.
It wouldn't be worthwhile.
No.
All right, Brandon. So you are on the New Rope Twitter space. Tell me what that is. Tell the audience, so we can kind of learn what that deal is.
So you all might remember kind of late 2021, 2022, early 2022. If you go back to that time for OU, that's when Lincoln Riley left. There was a, OU rumors and news that started. It was just basically a place for OU fans to go on and complain about everything going on wrong in the world. And there was an article in ESPN about it, and Twitter spaces kind of started to grow and become this thing where fan bases could go on and just kind of get together and talk about the sport. So myself and Johnny Webb, Webb Dingus is his Twitter handle, wanted to start a podcast. We said, let's not deal with having to buy the equipment this year, having to get everything set up. We can just do these on Twitter and see where it goes. So we started that in January of 2022. And the reason why it's called the New Rope is that the 94 national championship team at OU had the mantra of 24 guys pulling on the same rope. If you all are pulling in the same direction, then you can move anything. So it's kind of their mantra. We took that on, and it really just kind of went from there. We got very fortunate that we had a heck of a run last year. And so I think that helped a lot.
I like it. It's got a deeper meaning. We are just a couple guys that went to the stadium and drank beers. So that's where our name comes from.
Well, you're not too far off with us either. We also kind of have what we call the berm bums. That's out in left field. So if you are out in the outfield, if you go out to the outfield every Saturday in conference, one of the former players gives $1,000 worth of pizza to hand out on berms, and we have just a berm.
Holy party. Crap!
I mean, it's a good time. So
that's fun.
CC, So let's get a previous player on here.
Yeah, let's get Barzilli to come and buy his Lupton beers.
Yeah, right.
What's Gray up to? Come on, Rogers. All right. So before we talk about the current OU squad, I guess let's go back just a minute to last year. How surprised were you guys about that magical run to the College World Series and then to the semifinals?
Yeah, 2021 was not a great year for OU baseball. It ended up with a losing record, which is, just unacceptable. But when you look at what we had in 2020 and lost to the draft, you kind of knew it was going to be a down year. You had Bali in the first round. You had Dane Acker, Levi Prater, Brady Lindsley. You had a bunch of guys drafted that just kind of got rated. So 2021 was a down year. And so going into 2022, we didn't really know what to expect. I mean, we knew that 2021 wasn't going to happen again, but we didn't know what to expect. I think there was some up and down play throughout the beginning of the year. There was these flashes of this team could beat anyone. I mean, hung with LSU until I think the 12th inning and ended up getting beat, but that was when they were the number four team in the country last year. So, you know, you could just see that there was, you know, a lot of potential there. The big turnaround is when Cade Horton got healthy and was able to start actually pitching. He developed his slider, and that really gave us a solid weekend that we could build on. And then that's when we started putting together, you know, series wins, and it really started to turn around and look like things were happening. And of course, the team kind of embraced the chaos mantra as the year went on, and they just played that exciting, you know, run and gun baseball that they've kind of become known for. So. So yeah, surprising, yeah, but you know, you could see it develop a little bit.
So, you know, we had the football season that we just had here in Fort Worth, and it kind of got to a point where it was like, nobody's going to beat us. Like, we keep waiting for the other shoe to fall. You know, we keep waiting for Texas to beat us or whoever. And yeah, we slipped up against K-State, but then we beat Michigan. It's like, okay, why can't we just win every game and win this whole damn thing? Did you guys ever get that feeling as you were going through the postseason?
No, I think after the Texas Tech series going into a conference, that was the point where it's like, okay, we can probably go do some damage in the postseason. Like, at that point, you pretty much knew you were a lock for a regional. I think after the Big 12 tournament championship, yeah, I mean, it definitely happened. It just became more and more. It was like with every series win, or you win the regional, you win the super regional, you sweep the first weekend at Omaha. It was just, yeah, that's a great point. It's just like, who's going to beat us?
Right. Yeah. Fell to LSU, but still, man, I don't know if you can really complain too much about where you guys ended up last year. That was a cool run.
All right. So, we can definitely get into the Sooner schedule, kind of what they've done so far. But before we do that, OU was picked fifth in the conference preseason. You know, Brandon, how do you feel kind of about that ranking before the season? And then obviously, without getting into too many details, has anything changed those expectations to what you've seen so far?
Yeah, I certainly think, as most people did around the program, that fifth was ridiculous. But I mean, we got no looks at top 25 either. And, you know, most people pointed to the fact that, you know, we got rated in the draft again. I mean, we had 11 guys go pro, lost a few more smaller pieces to the transfer portal. So, I mean, by all standards, it's understandable that we're picked fifth, because I mean, in reality, it would look like on paper to be a rebuild year. But man, we got a lot of pieces in the draft, in the transfer portal, and had a lot of pieces coming back. Wallace Clark, Jackson Nicholas, and John Spikerman, specifically on offense, that you really felt like we had a good core that we could build around, that had already been to Omaha and knew what it, you know, took to get there. So I thought probably fifth was a little low. I think third or fourth would probably be in maybe where you would pick them. But you know, as the season's gone on, you know, the offense started slow, and you start to think, well, you know, maybe they're not half wrong. But the one thing you gotta go back to is just remembering that the chaos will come. It giveth and it taketh away. That's what we always say. And so they've definitely picked it up throughout the last couple of weeks, and the offense is starting to run on full cylinder. So
giveth and taketh away. That sounds pretty familiar with what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah.
So let's dive into the schedule a little bit. Kind of started off, I don't want to say uneventful, but just some, you know, kind of regular non-con that wasn't really worth chatting about. Cal Baptist, Ryder, you know, and obviously they took care of business there. Probably the most interesting few games that they played was in the Frisco College Baseball Classic. They beat California and Mississippi State, ended up losing to Ohio State, and then last weekend swept Houston. So anything, you know, kind of big to point out in terms of maybe a turning point or things that you've, you know, noticed that, this clicked at this point, or took a few games to get into rhythm?
It took a few games to get into rhythm. That Cal Baptist series was one of the, I played high school and college ball myself, and that was one of the coldest days at the ballpark I can remember. And so it, you know, it was one of those, and, you know, that's not an excuse. Those guys are from California. They're certainly not used to cold weather, but it just kind of had that dreary day feeling. They couldn't, you know, it was one of those games and series really where, you know, they're hitting little dinkers that are just dropping in and from the outfielders and we can't find grass on our line drives, you know, just some tough luck games. You know, I really felt like they found it at Ryder. I think this team does really well when they get gut punched, just like last year. They really take those gut punches and say, you know, we're going to move forward with it. And that happened on Friday night with Ryder. And then the chaos and offense really started to take off after Ryder, and you really felt like they hit a stride. And then, you know, you're absolutely right. That Frisco Classic, you know, taking those games against California and Mississippi State. Mississippi State's a pretty solid ball club. And really we kind of knocked them around the yard, ended up throwing some guys who got touched up a bit. Great offensive series. And we've pretty much been on a roll since until that dreaded, you know, midweek misstep that talking about earlier. So
yeah, it's really wild looking at OU's schedule today, because the way they started off, you know, losing a series to Cal Baptist, and then, you know, you just pointed out the struggles. You know, I kind of just put OU in my mind like, okay, yeah, they're down, they're rebuilding. And now looking at it today, I'm like, man, they've kind of been on a roll lately. So maybe things aren't going to get really all that much easier for TCU going into this weekend. Like, you guys have to be feeling really confident right now.
Yeah, I would say so. I say it's a good point in the year to be playing the top. Well, you know, we could argue Okie State's the top dog in the conference this year for sure. But you know, ACU's Abilene Christian's got a great ball club this year, and that was an extra innings loss. So, I mean, you know, you look at some of the losses and you think, man, you know, we should probably only have lost three or four games right now. We've lost six, you know, but in reality, the offense is where you want it. And we have hit some injuries as of late, which I'm certainly not going to say anything, because you all know about the injury bug right now. That's actually a question I had for you. I'd love to hear.
Go for it.
About, you know, where you guys are at from an injury perspective. I've heard it kind of nationally and read about it, but I don't really know what pieces you're missing at the moment, which I'm
well,
sure
we're missing. We're the starting rotation this weekend is healthy. We're missing our number one reliever, Luke Savage. You know, he has all the accolades on the wall. One of the best relievers that I've seen pitch at TCU. And I don't know how long we're going to be without him. And that's going to hurt. We're missing one of our big transfers. I'm sorry.
By the way, that's an awesome name for a reliever, Savage.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, he has one of the biggest personalities on the team. It sucks not being able to see him pitch. He's one of those guys where it's like, you take a 2-run lead into the seventh inning and then he comes in and you put your feet up on the coffee table knowing the game's over. So we're not going to have him, and that hurts. But we do have a lot of depth. So we haven't worried too much on the pitching side of things when it comes to injuries, even though we do have there's a whole list of guys that are battling this and that and not pitching, or they are pitching but with discomfort. But we've had a lot of freshman arms step up. So pitching wise, we feel okay. It's on the offense on the offense where we don't have injuries and they're not performing. So that's been our struggle.
Jacob, can I tell you, so I was at Sarlos's show tonight and I didn't even realize this. Of the 145 innings that TCU has played this year, 75 have been pitched by freshmen.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big stat and I believe it.
2025 is our year, guys. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should have Garrett Wright back this weekend.
That's good news.
Maybe there's a chance Luke comes back this weekend too. I haven't heard too much about Luke.
Yeah. When we talked to Kendall last night in San Marcos, he said he was kind of worried based on what he was hearing, but I don't think anybody really knows anything concrete.
Yeah. So to pile on what Jacob said, Brandon, it's not the pitching, which is where the injuries are. It's actually on the offensive side. And you've got a lot of experienced guys that are just having a slow start, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
No, it certainly happens. It certainly happens.
So, all right. Yeah, go for it, MK.
Well, I was going to say, let's switch up to OU pitchers. What guys, you know, should we be on the watch for, whether it's starters or kind of bullpen guys that are coming later on?
Yeah, so from a pitching perspective, I feel like we've kind of, we lost our whole you know, starting rotation from last year. You had Cade Horton ended up being the Friday night guy.
Welcome to the club, man. I feel like that's going to happen every year.
Yeah. It's part of, and you know, and that it's not the worst thing. I think that's the thing about college baseball that's fun and challenging at the same time, is like, you want to see the guys get drafted. Like, you want those guys to go do good.
Yeah.
Even though you know full well that it's going to hurt you next year. So we had to replace a lot. Cale Davis has been pretty solid. He should be the Friday night guy. He is, I would say, probably one of the more refined pitchers we have. He's got the track record. He was a transfer from Okie State, so we pulled him over from the dark side. And then Braxton is a Lamar transfer. He should be the Saturday guy. He just came off his best start of the year, so kind of hopefully things are moving in the right direction for Braxton. He's got the stuff. He had a great track record at Lamar. And then it's kind of been a toss up between the other two. You could see that James Hitt. He's coming off of an injury, so he hasn't been, used as much, but he had a great outing against Houston. And Will Carsten was our most consistent starting pitcher, who was dealing with some tightness over the last couple of weeks, and so haven't been able to see him. So it could go either way on starters, James Hitt or Will Carsten. As for relievers, man, I feel like we got a lot more depth this year from a reliever standpoint. Last year it was all Trevin Michaels. You might remember Trevin. He probably had the biggest personality on the team last year.
Was that number 99?
It was number 99.
God, that dude annoyed me so much.
He's the guy that you would probably hate if he was on any other team. Every team's got him.
That's funny. You guys need to give our guy Gray Thomas some more innings, man.
Gray has, I think he, let me see.
He only pitched one inning.
Yeah, he.
If you're not going to use him, give him back.
He hasn't gotten in as much, but there's so much depth this year in the bullpen that I think the challenge is getting guys innings at this point, which is not a bad problem to have compared to last year, where it kind of felt like, we were two or three deep in the bullpen. And if you couldn't go 7, 8, 9, if you needed any more than that, it was just going to be like, all right, buckle up. This could be a roller coaster of a game. So that's pretty solid.
Right.
Carter Campbell has been our most consistent guy out of the bullpen, kind of an inning eater there in the middle. And then we've kind of feel like we've maybe gotten our closer role locked down with Aaron Weber. He's still sitting on a 0 ERA. So
yeah, I was just looking at him and he's got a 0.71 whip. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it didn't start the year that way. Like, he was going to be the guy, but he's really, but I feel like sometimes if you don't have a defined closer at the beginning of the season, that guy will show themselves eventually. And he's kind of been the guy that starts to show it.
Yeah. I don't think we have a closer yet. Like, we haven't really used that as a role on the team. It's usually just, it's either a guy going a couple innings and finishing out the game, or, we may use two or three guys in the ninth inning, just get those last three out. So
really.
Interesting. Yeah. No, if you asked who our closer was, I'd say I have no idea.
Now, I do have a question about what do you think of OU's defense so far? Because here at TCU, we've been kind of complaining a lot about mental errors and errors. But I look at OU stats and I see they have 24 errors on the season. What do you think about their defense?
Yeah, on paper, it should be a really great defense. And Lakota Harris was a transfer portal guy. He's our shortstop. He's the guy that we actually pulled away from Tennessee. He's kind of, one of the biggest defensive chips that we pulled in. Outfield wise, I don't know that there's a faster outfield in college baseball. John Spiker might be the fastest guy in college baseball. Outfield's a little banged up in the moment. Kendall Pettis had a kind of a freak deal this last weekend. Had some sort of a bug bite, spider bite that got really swollen. So he's been out. But
that sounds like an STD.
Not in the ankle. That'd be some weird stuff, okay, man.
Now we're getting really weird.
That's a whole nother podcast.
That's some Oral Roberts type stuff.
Gosh, Ray.
That's a different podcast, guys. Stay on format.
Different podcast. I won't be on that one, I don't think. I'll leave that one to you all.
Really hard for me to get guests, I'm telling you.
You know, defensively, have you all looked at the Big 12 totals, though, on errors? So Oklahoma has committed quite a few.
Yeah, so have we.
but overall, I mean, you look up and down the Big 12, man, there's a couple of teams in the single digits. Most are hitting around 20 plus. Texas Tech sitting at 38.
God almighty.
Yeah.
Good God.
So this is going to be the sloppiest series ever.
So what are we complaining about?
Yeah. This is going to be the sloppiest series ever. Watch it be like no errors for all three games.
Probably. Yeah, probably. So, yeah, it's funny. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say defensively, I think we expect more than what we're putting out right now. We expect better defense. I think we've had some critical errors. I can't really say that there's been a lot of bonehead plays, honestly. It hasn't been like just stupid throwing the ball away type stuff. It's really been more kind of like, you know, you just missed a couple of routine plays, is really what it is. And some of them really haven't been at critical times. So that's helped as well. But no, I don't see a lot of, I think they're very composed defensively. I just think there's been more errors than expected to start the year.
Yeah.
I feel like the opposite for the Frogs, where they've been at the worst times possible.
The worst. Know? Yes. Yeah.
So I would love for them to make errors when it doesn't matter at all. They're up by 15 runs or something.
Yeah, really.
Now I would like to ask another question. This time on the offensive end, can you talk about Bryce Madren? I look at the NCAA leaderboard for walks, and I see this dude has 30 walks already on the season.
Is that how many at bats he has? 30 at bats, 30 walks.
Pretty much.
Man, it can't be much more.
Yeah, it's. Let's see. No, I'm trying to find him. Oh yeah, he has 55 at bats.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. So it's actually kind of funny that you bring that up. So if you don't know, he was a transfer guy, played at Cali, and he was the junior college player of the year last year. So, you know, came in with a whole lot of expectations. Interestingly enough, Blake Robertson, who you might remember from last year's team, just set the OU record for walks. He had 69 walks last year. Nice. And so he set the OU record, and it was like, oh my gosh, you know, how long will this thing stand? Well, through, I think 14 games, which is when we looked at it last time, he had 15 walks and Madren had 27.
Holy moly.
He is on an absolute tear, and it's one of those things where, you know, I don't know if you all have ever played, you know, like high school or college competitive baseball at any level. If you go through these series where you're getting walked all the time, you're not really seeing pitches. You're just, everyone's out of the zone. It's harder to hit. I mean, you just kind of feel like you're not really seeing the ball down the middle. It might be harder to hit. I think that's a little bit of where he's at right now. He's not, you know, hitting for average wise. He's only hitting 200, but the guy's got a, you know, 482 on base percentage. So who's going to complain about that?
Are they pitching around him, or is he just not getting? I mean, what's the deal with that?
No, not at all. They are not pitching around him at all, and mostly because he kind of got off to a slow start. But the guy just has some of the best at bats you'll watch. I mean, just last night he had I think 12 pitch at bat. He started like 0-2 and just worked his way all the way back to 3-2, had a like five pitch battle and ended up drawing the walk. I mean, he just has those kind of at bats just every time he's up to the plate. So,
yeah, I appreciate us starting off the offensive preview with a shout out to the guys who walked, because that was my game when I played. But tell me about these mashers, man. Easton Carmichael, Anthony McKenzie. You got a freshman here, Rocco Garza something. Tell me about those guys.
Yeah, Rocco Garza Gongora. So that is a really fun name.
Yeah.
Last year it was the three-headed monster that we always talked about for the freshmen. We had Spikerman, we had Nicholas, and we had Wallace Clark. Those were like the guys that, you know, you talk about surprises last year. That was probably the surprise. You know, all those guys ended up being starters and kind of carried the team in Omaha a little bit. So this year, you know, we had to replace Jimmy Crooks, got drafted to the Cardinals in the fifth round. And it was like, what are we going to do? We got a guy from BYU transfer in as a catcher, Mason Strong. And, you know, he got injured right before the beginning of the year. So we're like, okay, we're going to have to start the year with a catcher being a freshman catcher coming off of, you know, Jimmy Crooks, one of the better catchers to ever come through the program. And so we were like, well, man, we'll see what happens, you know? And he's just gone off on an absolute tear. I mean, yeah, he does not look like a freshman at all. He's hitting .422, 25 RBIs, and we're, what, 17 games into the season. You know, he is just having non-freshman at-bats. And then Rocco's kind of, if we have the two-headed monster this year, Rocco's been the other. He's a freshman as well. And, you know, he's really producing at the early part of the year when some of the other guys, like, that you expected to produce, like Spikerman and Madron, haven't quite gotten hit their stride yet. So it's pretty cool to see freshmen, you know, have success.
Now, it seems like this team, this Oklahoma team, while their slugging percentages are all pretty high, they don't have a lot of home runs. So they seem like a team that's just spraying it, finding gaps all over the field.
That's going to be helped a lot by the fact that it's a fast team. It's a fast athletic team. So I think there's a lot of instances where we're going to take doubles or triples and push that extra base when other teams would sit with a single or sit with a stand up double. So I think that plays a little bit into it, but
yeah, Easton Carmichael has four triples. What? That's crazy. So who, tell me about the rest of the lineup. Do you guys have any weaknesses in there that we might want to exploit, or is everybody just pretty solid?
No, I would say you're going to get quality at bats up and down the lineup. You know, typically, and this happened, you know, at the end of last year, you had Kendall Pettis, who I don't know if he's going to be available or not this weekend, with that spider bite. That's hopefully the swelling goes down, but you know, you're going to get good at bats. The on-base percentages are through the roof, even if the batting averages are down. Kendall Pettis has a .250 batting average. He usually hits in the nine hole. He has a .500 on-base percentage. So we're going to try and flip the order. We're going to try and keep things. We want base runners. We want to get on base. We want to be stealing. That's part of that chaos mantra. Is there a weakness in the lineup? I mean,
that was probably the wrong question. That was more of a joke.
You could look at some untimely strikeouts that have been kind of rearing their ugly head. You know, at the beginning of the year when we were really struggling, there was a lot of situations where as soon as we get a guy on, pitcher would walk someone, hit a double, we just immediately feel like you're bailing them out with a strikeout. So strikeout numbers are maybe situationally bad at times, but overall, it's hard for me to pinpoint a spot in the lineup where you would say, like, man, I hope if we can just get to these three guys, then we'll be good. Because honestly, Easton Carmichael usually hits in the five or six hole. Rocco's hitting in the, you know, five or six, seven hole. You got a guy with a .500 on base percentage hitting in the nine hole typically. There's not a lot of just get me over at bats for pitchers.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good stuff.
Okay, Brad, I'm going to change directions here. We got some Twitter questions that don't have anything to do with what we're talking about. So our first question from Alexander Menke, at Alex Menke 62. What's your favorite childhood movie?
Favorite childhood movie? Well, that's a good one. Trying to think of like what childhood would even be like. Would you equate, does it have to be below the age of 13? I'm going to go with, I was a huge baseball fan my entire life. Like you can see in the background, those are all sports cards behind me.
Nice.
Like I've been collecting since I was a kid. So I'm going to keep it to a sports movie. I'm going to have to go The Rookie.
Oh man.
Okay.
You stole mine.
Well, there was a summer, I was probably like 10 and my brother was 7, and I'm not kidding you, from the last day of school all through the summer, we watched Rookie of the Year every single day. every single day. We found time to watch it once a day.
Gardenhauser.
Yeah, I could probably still quote the entire script. That yeah, so I have to go with that as my answer.
Ray, what you got?
Man, I was going to say Rookie of the Year too, but
hell yeah.
But I was also a big Angels in the Outfield fan too. I feel like that doesn't get enough love.
It's a good one. We watch that one a lot too.
Baseball movies.
Good guy.
Martin,
Garrett, what y'all got?
Shrek.
What? When you were like 20?
Awesome.
Yeah.
I was not 20. I was like 8.
What? Has it really been out that long?
This is like he's talking about Shrek the musical when it came out on Broadway.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. What about you, Garrett?
Probably Bull Durham, man. Probably wasn't supposed to watch it.
What else? What?
He was eating. Hey, he was watching.
You can't.
I'm an old soul.
Drinking black coffee and eating coarse toast.
Well, he was riding rodeo then, so.
Yeah, that's true.
You had to grow up fast on the ranch.
About to have your first kid. You're like 62 years old, man.
You guys cannot knock the classics, man. It's an all-timer.
It's a good
Is
movie.
That what you told your first grade friends? Like, why are you guys watching cartoons? You got to watch the classics,
man. Yeah, it's a good movie. It's just not a kid's movie.
All right. Next question.
It's Always Sunny in Fort Worth at GMFP asks, is it fair that this team can beat anyone in the country and can they lose to almost anyone in the country? And I'll ask that both to us, obviously for TCU, but also to Brandon, if you want to start just from an Oklahoma perspective.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I think this weekend is going to tell a lot. You know, you can look at the schedule. Mississippi State's a great ball club, no doubt about it. Both Cal and Ohio State both have very potent offenses. That was, you know, the best test of the season. I don't really know that we've seen how we're going to play. Are we going to play up to those, you know, top 20 teams? Are we going to play up in those big situations? So I can't wait for this weekend because I think it's going to show us a lot of where we're at. So yeah, I'm going to say we can play with anyone, but you got to go out and prove it.
Jacob.
Yeah. I mean, to answer his question, we beat Arky, beat Vandy. I mean, we spanked Arky and Vandy, and then we lose to UTA at home. So I don't know how you can argue against that statement right now. But I think, you know, we've talked about it, guys, that we have so much talent on the team. It's just we are playing so below our ceiling. It's just I think it's a matter of time. And Brandon, like you said, this weekend is telling. We feel the same way. We feel the same way.
So, Brandon, if you were going to make a guess on the weekend, you know, what do you think? Do you think Sooners take care of business at home, or do you see the Frogs winning at least two of the three games?
I don't think you're going to see a sweep either way. I do think that we'll go 2-1 at home. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Eldale, but it's not actually known for a raucous crowd. It's the fan participation in the past has been low. We've started out the year with the most fans we've ever had start a year, at least in a very long time. I think people are going to show out for the first weekend of conference playing TCU. So I'm going to say Sooners 2-1. I think we'll probably win Friday night and Sunday. That's going to be a prediction.
Okay.
It's going to be cold this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be so
cold. It is.
It's going to be in the 40s. The Friday night game, it'll be in the 40s. It'll be in the low 50s, upper 40s on Saturday.
I want that big Cal Baptist energy where it's cold and you guys can't do anything.
It just locked up.
Bats are frozen.
All right, Brandon, before we head out of here, what can we plug for you? I know you mentioned the podcast, the Twitter spaces, or anything else that you want to throw out there.
Yeah, no, the Oklahoma baseball experience is definitely what we do, man. I just, you know, we love talking college baseball. I mean, you all clearly know your stuff too. If you do come out to Eldale this weekend, I will be there. So if any of you all are out there, come to the Berms, have a good time with us. It's a lot of fun. It's just college baseball. So I would just say plug anything, man, watch as much college baseball as you can this weekend. The sport's only going to get better, but the more we watch, the more we talk about it on Twitter, the better the sport's going to get. So.
Good awesome. Stuff.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Thanks for Brandon for joining us. Thank you, Jacob, Ray, Martin, Garrett. We will see you online this weekend as we live tweet all of our hopefully Braden Taylor bombs, maybe some of those Bryce Madron walks, you know, as he racks up those walks from L. Dale, Mitchell Park, and Norman. It was good to talk to you tonight, Brandon, and we will see you guys soon. Go Frogs.
Thanks, Brandon.
Go Frogs.
Y'all.